Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
One, two, kicking out yet another brand new episode of the Kicking Out Podcast. It's Sunday night. It's July 12th, 2026. I'm your reigning defending KOP Predictions Champion, Mr. Perfect Card, some say. And my co-host to my right, main event Shep, Austin Shepherd. Shep, what's going on, man?
You're Perfect Card. I'm going to change your nickname to Mr. Tiebreaker doesn't exist. Mr. Tiebreaker, that's your nickname.
He didn't tie me last card. Or the card before that.
I did too. The card before that, I tied you.
Did you tie me at Double or Nothing?
Yeah, I think it was, yes.
Okay. I know you didn't have Forbidden Door. So.
No, because I had a different vision than Tony.
That, I've heard you say that so many times the past 5 years.
You know what the difference of my vision and his vision is, though?
What's that?
He's got $1 billion to back his vision.
That's a great point. Too Sweet Kyle in the house on YouTube. What's going on, Kyle? And, of course, he's running things over there on the Main Event Wrestling Network, which, if you don't know already, we are part of the Main Event Wrestling Network. And starting tonight, going forward, with our Sunday night shows, we're streaming not only on the Kicking Out Pod YouTube channel and Facebook page, but also the Main Event Wrestling Network's YouTube channel. So go make sure you're subscribed already, which I don't know why you wouldn't be already, but.
I mean, come on. We're the main event. We're Sunday night, 8:30. We're the main event. Let's go.
Couldn't say it better myself. Eric Douglas is in the chat on YouTube. What's going on, Eric? How are you? And we got our fellow loyal viewer from Hungary at KWYJIBO underscore on YouTube. Have you guys seen the first two new Dark Side of the Ring episodes? I hardly knew anything about TNA. Very interesting, he says.
I thought that was the most entertaining thing I've ever heard about TNA. I say that negative. I love Double J. Of course, I grew up Double J, right? I grew up Double J, and I thought it was very interesting to see how he got the company off the ground, how he started it, all the stuff. And then I know the next episode we get Tuesday is basically where he gets railroaded out of his own company.
Yeah, and they talk more about Hogan and Bischoff era. Which really started to tank everything. So,
good stuff. I thought it was one of the top five episodes of all time of Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah, they do a really good job with that. It's amazing.
So good. Season seven. So good.
It was really good.
I remember when Jump for Joy that they renewed it for season two.
Because I know.
The stories we got season one were like, oh man, there's nothing left, right? There's nothing left. Oh, there was a lot of shit left.
There's a lot of stories that could go down. It's just more of, can they get family members, close friends, etc. of those people, especially if those people aren't alive anymore. You know, that's the tough part. Because I know they want to do one really bad on Andrew Martin, a.k.a. Test, but they can't find anybody close to him as far as family and really close friends to tell the personal side, so they want to do things right. So if they can't, they're not going to do it.
Well, and I think I saw a lot of comments on Twitter really wanting Dixie Carter's side of the story of the first two events. She declined, but I really thought if she would have done these two, which these two didn't make her look bad at all. I'm guessing the next couple ones, there could be some really negative stuff about her, and that's why she declined. But to see her, to get her side, whether she wants to throw anybody under the bus and maybe she just wants it, you know, behind her, I really would have been interested to see her take on things.
Yep, I agree. I mean, Tony Khan looks like he's going to make an appearance on the next one.
He was on this last one.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. I forgot it was, wasn't he? Isaac is in the chat. What's going on, Isaac? Eric Douglas asked, do y'all think they talk Victory Road 2011 main event situation? I believe that does come up next one. Between Jeff Hardy and Sting.
Yeah, and I swear I've seen – I don't know if that was on a Dark Side before, but I've seen it. There's a documentary that has that in there, and I can't remember.
Yep. You're right. They're on something.
I don't think it was a Dark Side, though.
Yep. What's going on, Steven Chambers? How are you, my friend? Hope you're having a good weekend.
What's up, Steven?
But, boy, Shep, we got a lot of AEW to talk tonight. What a week it's been.
What a week it's been in the professional wrestling business.
Very true. Very true.
And professional wrestling business, having to do with the wrestling, learned a lot from his career last night. That's in Conor McGregor.
Shep, you're very choppy on my end.
You're short. Is that better?
Yes, that's better.
I said a guy I feel like has taken a lot from the professional wrestling industry and taken it over to his craft. I feel like ended his career last night, and that's in one Conor McGregor.
He should hang it up, but I have a feeling he won't.
And I stayed up and watched all 14 seconds of it.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with professional wrestling, but with UFC going to Paramount and me being a Paramount subscriber, me now getting every UFC event, I watch usually the two main events.
Yep.
I was a big Patty the Bat fan. I enjoy him. So love seeing him get the surprise submission last night and then unfortunately watch maybe the end of one of the greatest fighters of all time.
Got some good comments here. Main Event Wrestling Network on YouTube. What a week for professional wrestling indeed. Isaac, Wednesday's Dynamite was one of the more enjoyable shows I've watched in a long time. That was a fun one. We'll be going down that rabbit hole in just a bit. Eric Douglas said Andrade versus Omega for Grand Slam. Probably right. On August 5th in Mexico, you're probably right.
Hey, hold on. Eric said that, right?
Yep.
Hey, Eric, how you know?
I love that he's getting over and that chance getting over. Real good one here for you, Shep. Steven Chambers said, hey, Shep, I went to the dealership where Stunt was working at, and I asked if Stunt is around, got kicked out by some car salesman, and I hollered, I prefer Chevy anyway.
If that is a true story, I love it. I absolutely love it. And I appreciate that you're on the Chevy side.
That's classic.
That is awesome. I'm guessing that wasn't the first time that it has happened.
I guess they're probably pretty annoyed by wrestling fans coming in and asking to talk to
the 4'11" guy that jumps off of everything.
Steven says definitely true.
I love it. Cheers, Steven.
That's awesome. Eric Douglas, Wednesday was the highest viewed Dynamite since 2024. I did see that. Mm-hmm. Deservingly so. I mean,
what a cool just venue talking too. About.
Yeah, great venue down in St. Pete, Clearwater. Very hot. Unfortunately, I heard it wasn't the best viewing experience for the crowd. I know Kyle Fletcher, who's our new international champion, we'll be talking about that here soon too. He released his weekly vlog today, and I watched it. It was like 11 minutes long. He said it was the hottest temperature he's ever wrestled in, with heat and humidity.
Yeah, and I felt like out of all those matches, I only saw one, I'm not even going to call it a botch, maybe blunder, where, and I think it was Fletcher and Takeshna, where Takeshita tried to get him around to do a German suplex, and he went to grab him, and he slipped because obviously it was 120 degrees with humidity, and he slipped grabbing him, and they kind of fell awkward into the ropes, and then he gathered it up by there. But other than that, that was kind of the only blunder I saw because of what kind of conditions those guys were wrestling in. And how about Andrade coming out in his full suit with the freaking winter trench coat on?
He had to be sweating.
Oh, my gosh. And you know there's probably zero air moving through that place.
Did you pop when he did the How You Know backstage with the skateboard blew up in your boy, Brian Cage's face, and and they put, you did it. He's got the control. How you know?
Oh, my God. That was so good. And was that detonator? Wouldn't that thing look like it was from 1980s?
Yes. There's a lot of people that are speculating that this whole, like, Darby explosion thing all of a sudden, you know, we saw it at Forbidden Door with Kevin Knight. Now we saw this week. A lot of people are speculating that. Could this lead to some sort of Darby Allin against somebody exploding barbed wire death match coming up in this month or next month?
Or hold on, is this Tony Khan mocking Danhausen?
I would go more with the exploding barbed wire death match than mocking Danhausen, but
I don't want another one of those, Tanner.
Oh, I know. I know. The ending was just god awful. I know.
I mean, bless your heart. I don't want another one of those. No, and I, here's the reason I say that is because I think we knew going into this there was a really, really good chance of a title change.
Okay. Yes.
I think the wrestling community knew that.
Yeah.
So I thought on Monday night, I thought they made a title change out of straight desperate. They did it.
I think that was planned, but I don't think it was planned as long as the title change from MJF to Omega has been planned. I think Punk's return to Chicago was planned. Now, was it always the case that he was going to win the title? Maybe not. But I think a title change was going to take place in Chicago for a while, whether it was Cody or Punk.
I don't know, I just felt like they built Sammy up to finally get this belt, and he holds it for, what, 8 days?
Nine days.
Yeah. That was kind of worse than the Kofi Kingston title run.
Kofi held it for at least a couple months. He's lost in 8 seconds.
He lost in 8 seconds. But – I don't know. I just felt like they pulled that trigger. They did that just because they knew somebody's nipping on their heels. I know they're not there yet, but they're making some waves. And
the thing, AEW's sticking in their own lane. They're focusing on themselves for once, you know.
Here's the difference. Who does Tony Khan answer to?
Himself.
Okay. Who does Paul Levesque answer to?
A million people in TKO.
Right.
Exactly.
So that's why I feel like it's a little bit desperate on the booking end to try to make those board members happy.
Well, and you know, and we're an AEW podcast. That's our favorite promotion, the promotion we prefer. And we'll... You know, but there's got talent we like in WWE, and we keep up with it. And we'll throw playful jabs from time to time. And as many playful jabs as I do throw at Triple H, I will say I think he's doing a pretty good job creatively. It would be hard trying to please TKO when they can interfere with your plans at any time.
I mean, look who he took over with, too. The guy had the book for 40 years. It was the same guy.
Exactly.
And he's got to fill those shoes.
I mean, is he perfect? Absolutely not. But I think TKO is the bigger problem there.
Correct. And I'm not, trust me, I'm not saying Tony Khan's perfect. He also he booked Andrade to get beat up by a video game machine once, or not? Not Andrade. The Russian guy,
Miro.
Miro. God.
Rusev
yeah.
now.
Rusev. Or was Rusev. Now. Yeah. yeah. Remember, he got beat up by a video game machine.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, he's had a lot of blunders. And I could go down a rabbit hole about the trios division, the women's tag team title division, the TBS title thing, blah, 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 blah. I could go down plenty of rabbit holes. But yeah. Kyle said they disagree with your Sammy comments, Jep, on the Dusty finish tonight. We'll have to check it out after the show.
Will do.
Yep, I can't disagree there, Kyle. Triple H is drastically better than Vince, too. Yeah, Vince at the end. Yeah, Vince at the end had no idea what he's doing. Stephen Chambers, got a feeling MJF is going to get his rematch at Redemption. MJF gets it back. MJF versus Andrade at Mexico better be because there's beef with both of them and MJF versus Ospreay at all. I got to disagree. I don't see MJF getting that back before all. I think Kenny walks into Wembley as your champ.
I agree too. Although if there is a big event in Mexico and you have an Andrade headline.
Yeah.
That's a big deal as well.
I mean, he could go against Kenny for the title, or if you just want a big match between him and Max, you could do that. Non-title, you know.
Non-title, or it could be you make it a number one contenders match for a Dynamite.
Future. Or Dynamite, I was going to say, or future shot after,
I mean,
after All In or something. I don't know.
I'm sounding like a spoiled little bitch here, but I'm getting used to having a title match on Dynamite every week.
I know.
And I know. having quality title matches on Dynamite every week.
Well, I mean, just think about all the things we got on Dynamite this week. We got a pretty good opener, I thought, between Jericho and Ciampa. Fun opener, at least.
Fun opener.
We got two different title changes, the international title and the world title. We now know the number one contender for the women's world title. I mean, that's a lot right there. And some other stories that involved along the way, too, just on Dynamite.
Mm-hmm. Let's just get right into that opening match. Mm-hmm. What Jericho did to Ciampa before they even got to the ring by suplexing him on those plastic chairs. I know
that
those plastic, well, I know those plastic chairs are flimsy, but the way he...
But still.
Well, if you notice, by the time they got to the ring, on his lower left kidney side, he was cut open because Aubrey put her gloves on.
Yep.
And that was before Jericho took the face buster to the steps, busted open. But Jericho's 56?
Yeah, we'll be 57, I believe, in October or November.
I thought this was one of the – and maybe Ciampa carried him a little bit. But I thought this was one of the better performances we've seen in Jericho in his later career. And was very – at the start, I'm like, I'm not going to like this match. Them boys took me over the top.
Yeah, and they're not done. They're not done. Jericho will get a win, and then I think it'll go three matches. Yeah.
But I thought this was a very physical match. Obviously, both men got color. I love how Tony Schiavone played the sand in the open wounds. How miserable that is! He really played that pretty good. The cameraman did great work on the Jericho facebuster on the steps.
Yeah, he did.
Because at first, I'm like, oh, that was like he didn't get to protect himself. And they showed a couple different angles, then you kind of saw it. But where the cameraman took the original live action shot was absolutely perfect.
Yep.
And you really did. Holy shit, Jericho just went face first.
Yep. Yep. That was a good opener. You can make a strong case that Fletcher and Takeshita was the match of the night over the main event. I don't think you can go wrong with either one.
But here's why I would say no, because I thought it was too soon to make this title change.
I'm a huge Kyle Fletcher fan.
I am too.
AOP Nation knows that. But I agreed with you at first, coming out on Wednesday night, and now by Sunday, I'm fine with it because I think we're getting three matches between these guys. I think we get the rematch at Redemption. Wouldn't shock me at all if Takeshita takes it back off him. And then we get the rubber match with some sort of stip at Wembley. I mean, who says no? These guys are great wrestlers, and they have great chemistry.
That and two, I just thought about this. Didn't the G1 start Saturday?
Yes.
It's Takeshna. Takeshna's in it again, right?
He is, yeah.
So basically, Takeshna's going to be gone while and maybe come back for these two big events.
Yeah.
So maybe, okay. I just thought about that. It kicks off Saturday in Chicago, I believe.
Well, and you know, I think they've been chomping at the bit to get Gold back on Fletcher, because if you remember right, he had to vacate the TNT title due to his injury. And I liked how they played off that a little bit with Kevin Knight, even though they're all supposed to be stablemates coming out after and kind of calling out Fletcher, saying, hey, it's about time. So still kind of planting a seed there between those two for the future. I like that.
Yeah. I still don't think Kevin Knight meshes well with the Don Callis family.
He struggles on the mic, like we've talked about. You've definitely brought it up, and I've always come to his defense saying, well, he's got Callis. But they're not even using Callis to talk for him lately, so he's really got to figure that part out if he wants to be in the main event scene in the next year. Yeah, Steffi, good to see you in the chat. By the way, yeah, go ahead and shoot. You said you got a question for me. Go ahead. Stephen Chambers said Takeshita getting it back at All In, because the G1 usually ends week or two before All In. Okay. His that German he did to Fletcher on the apron, my God.
And coming out of the G1, I haven't followed New Japan closely to see who's one of the favorites. I know he would be one of the favorites coming out of it. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to complain about a Fletcher-Takeshita match at Wembley.
No. And I don't know how you do it. I think it's too close now to have Okada-Fletcher, but Okada's got to do something significant at All In, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
I don't know either. He's kind of, with everything, all the storylines out there, he's kind of out in La La Land.
Yeah, and we haven't seen him since Double or Nothing. So, or seen him in a match, I should say. Maybe he's been on Dynamite a couple times with the Callis family. But Steffi said, "What do you think of a fan posting a picture of Jeff Hardy and Takeshita and calling him a Japanese wrestling fan? I did not see this. So this is news to me." I would say that fan obviously doesn't follow AEW very closely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the Takeshita is a pretty big Japanese man.
I guess I would want to look at that post.
Yeah.
But basically not recognizing Takeshita as a professional wrestler and just calling him a Japanese mark. Going up to Jeff Hardy and wherever they ran into each other at.
Yeah.
In which, obviously, Takeshita was there when Hardy spent some time in AEW. So
true. Very good point.
Obviously, they're not strangers. So
Very good point. Well, Jeff Hardy's he was a childhood favorite of so many of these professional wrestlers right now.
Sure he was.
I mean, you know. Steffi said on Twitter they roasted, all caps, that guy.
They should have.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to post something like that, yeah, be ready for the backlash. I'll be ready for the backlash.
What a shitty pay-per-view, by the way. Always was. Backlash. Okay.
Backlash.
took you all to get there.
It did. I'm like, I'm thinking Jeff Hardy, TNA, like, where are we going? Yeah. Back to that Andrade spot, the How You Know spot with the exploding skateboard, which I did like that Brian Cage was selling the effects of that last night on Collision. Thought that was good. Shivani couldn't keep it together when they went back to the shot of the three. He was dying.
It was – I popped just because it happened to Brian Cage. And then Andrade had a little bit of comedic value with that detonator box that had 47 switches on it. and obviously he did the How You Know, but maybe one of the, I mean, if it was going to be Brian Cage, I thought maybe we could maybe tape a little bit more pyrotechnics to the bottom of that skateboard. Just a little bit more.
I mean, we're obviously going to get a tag match soon, Andrade and Darby against probably Kevin Knight and either Jake Doyle or Brian Cage or some combination of the Callis family. I know we're getting Doyle and Andrade upcoming Wednesday night, and if Andrade wins, he's the number one contender for Mark Davis's national championships, which shout out to Mark Davis, Dunkzilla. He and Speedball had a hell of a match last night for that national title, in which Mark Davis won, but man, they tore the house down.
Let me ask you this question. The way that promo went, talking to Andrade, are they going to make him run through the gauntlet of champions to get? Now, I would love to see all of a sudden Andrade go through all these guys and hold multiple belts. You know, I'm not a big two-belt guy, but
– no.
Like, I mean, there's a reason they're making him start with, which I would say, the lowest individual title on AEW television. Would you agree with that?
Which one? The national title?
Yeah. Would that be the lowest?
Yeah, I think so.
Making him go there and prove it almost makes it feel like, okay, we're going to set Andrade up just to run the freaking gauntlet. And prove his, you know, match against Fletcher. He beats Fletcher. He can then eventually go to the world title. And, you know, he walks to the world title match and he just throws all these belts to the ground. Be like, I'm done with this. I'm with this one.
Yeah, because I would say it goes national title. I don't even know what categorize the continental title as. I mean, Mox has done a great job with it. But it's like a title. I don't even think it should be a title. I think the International's above the TNT title now, which is too bad in a sense. I used to think TNT was easily number two, but I think the International's above that, and then your world title. So yeah, I mean, look at the guys they put the International title on. They're like right on the cusp of world title.
Right.
Usually, which TNT's usually like, okay, this is on you to see if you can go prove yourself type thing. So.
And I can see some type of gauntlet run coming from Andrade right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Stephen James said, flat out, I'm disappointed TK not hardly doing anything with the women's tag titles. Divine Dominion title run been meh. Yeah, it's honestly, they're just holding it until the Brawling Birds go against them at probably All In. It's been that way for months. Yeah, it's the women's division still has a lot of problems, flat out. But speaking of the women's division, we do know who will be taking it on Tekla at Redemption for the women's world title. And that was a returning Willow Nightingale.
Love to see her back and healthy.
I do too, but I was, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, I feel like lately, Shep, but I still was hoping for a different character return to freshen her up a little bit, but they're definitely not going in that direction.
Are you talking about DMD?
No. I wanted to see them bring Willow back as a heel.
But they're
definitely not going that route. So,
you know, and maybe this is just me, but I don't think I've ever seen Willow not smile. I mean, maybe she can't be a heel.
I know.
And that's a good trait to have, where you're smiling no matter what's going on. But
sure, I'm still bummed for our girl Athena. She just never. They're never gonna do it. They're never going to do it.
No.
Nope.
I mean, that's all you can say is nope.
Nope. Yep. And Steven's bringing this up. And this is the exact question I was going to ask you, Shep, so I'll go ahead and address it. Steven says, I can see Willow beating Tekla at the pay-per-view, do a triple threat, Willow, Mercedes, and Tekla at All In. Yeah. I know we'll be doing our Redemption's prediction show in a couple weeks. Probably just you and I, because we're 30 minutes in. We forgot the dress. Yeah, a dress. Yeah, Paul's not here tonight.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that workhorse. He's not here. So probably just you and me. I don't know. But what do you think as of right now on July 12th? Who do you like in that match, Tekla or Willow?
Tekla. Yeah, I think she's at first when they made this title change, I was very hard on Tekla about
you were
her mic skills. She was hilarious on commentary this week. She was hilarious. And I kind of like that. And the shit she's saying is has a little bit of an edge to it. It's not necessarily PG-13. And she don't care. I think she came down with a cocktail this week as well, didn't she? Did she have a cocktail?
I think you're right. Yeah. It sure looked like it.
I don't know if she's drinking it, but she, I mean, can't, you know, the persona.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't think we see Tekla get beat until Wembley.
Yeah, it's just interesting there because, and maybe they kind of started it a little bit with Mercedes looking like she formed a partnership with the Divine Dominion, Lena Cross and Megan Bang when they beat up Julia Hart and Sky Blue on the outside of the ring, because you kind of need one of those ladies to be a little bit more of the face than the other. You can't really have heel versus heel at Wembley. So maybe that was a little seed to give Tekla after Redemption, if she defends it successfully against Willow, gives her a little more of a face edge going into that feud against Mercedes.
Yeah, but I still think on your big stage, I'm not hoping for a triple threat when it comes to these world titles.
I know, but you could easily do them. But yeah,
you could. But you know what they say? That's the lazy way of doing things.
Lazy booking. I know.
One of the few things Jim Cornette and I agree upon.
I could see this. I could see Willow taking it off Tekla, Redemption, then losing to Mercedes at All In, and they build a year-long story of Willow having to climb back up from the bottom only to regain that title back at next year's All In against Mercedes.
Well, yeah, remember, Willow and Mercedes have some history.
A lot of history.
From the New Japan where Mercedes got hurt and they pivoted in the middle of the match, and all of a sudden Willow is your new Japan Strong champion, I think it was.
Yep.
So there's some history between them. And I mean, I'm not going to say I would not hate a year-long feud between them, especially if you have a Toni Storm that's not coming back anytime soon. Mm.
Yep. And plus, another bit of history you forgot, Shep. Willow took that TBS title off Mercedes on the last Dynamite of 2025.
Yeah.
So that too. So there's a lot of history there.
So Mercedes has never beat her for a belt.
Nope.
So Willow's 2-0.
Yep.
So yeah, yep. That could be some long-term storytelling.
Yeah. Eric Douglas says they'll give Athena a belt as soon as she drops the ROH title, which to that point, Steven says, guessing Maya World, I'm going to throw World in there since he didn't put that, going to beat Athena at Death Dishonor in Philadelphia, so Athena gets more AWTV time, and he says that's on August 21st.
I saw that. It's August 21st. I think it's at the old ECW arena.
And see, Steven's saying you could do a four-way at All In if you throw Athena in there.
Loses
her ROH title.
But, and I don't know the days. I know she just surpassed 1,300 days as champion.
That's a lot. Yeah.
But her goal was to go longer than Bruno Sammartino.
That's a couple years down the road.
So she's still got a while to go if she says that that's what she wants to do.
Yeah. Well, a lot of wrestlers want to do certain things, but the booker or promoter has different ideas.
Well, obviously, Tony just says, do whatever the hell you want, Athena, because he's not listening to anybody.
That's true. But we've gone 33 minutes, and we haven't hit on yet the main event on Beach Break, which saw Kenny, by God, Omega, defeat MJF to become the AEW World Champion for the second time in company history. And it was a very fun match. A very great, fun match that match. Even saw Will Ospreay get involved.
He got involved, but not in the way that affected the match negatively.
True.
You know, Max went for the Dynamite Diamond Ring, leaning up against the ropes, and he put it up in the air, and out of nowhere, like a gazelle, here comes Ospreay, and he rips that ring off of him. Distracts, obviously, MGF for just a tad.
Distracts MJF. Kenny gets the belt. Kenny's going to go hit him. MJF, like the coward he is, pleading no. Kenny, being the good guy he is, hesitates. MJF with a nut shot then hits him with the belt, and you're thinking, oh, my God, this is how it's going to end for Kenny. He's not going to be able to challenge for the world title because he was too much of a good guy. Goes for the pin. Kenny kicks out at one. The place explodes. Love the camera shot of Ospreay even going. And then MJF's face, how he sold it with a just shaking his head. There's no better seller in professional wrestling than MJF. In my opinion, he is the best at selling.
Yeah, because he's...
Whether it's selling injuries, he's good.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
He's and then Kenny hits not only one, not two, but three V-triggers on Max, then hits the one-winged angel. One, two, three.
And on that third V-trigger, wasn't Max just up against the ropes? Like,
Yep, he was even – it was coming at him. Yep.
It was coming at him. He just kind of looked like he was selling it. It was really good. Like, you knew it was coming. Like, you knew it was time for the finish.
Yep. There was one really scary spot in the match, I thought. The move is slip. The name of the move is slipping my mind right now. It was when they were on the top rope. Max did it to Kenny. Kenny led it on his head. What's it called?
From the
it's
top
almost like
rope?
A it's almost like a hurricanrana, but it has a different name. Yeah. Because Max threw his legs around Kenny's head and flipped, and Kenny landed on his head. I thought he really was injured for a second, but he was fine.
Mm.
I can't think what it is. But other than that, great match. Had suspense, big spots. I mean, we saw Max go through the table. Stephen Chambers saying MJF went for the heat seeker too much in that match. And he said he's got a feeling MJF's going to interrupt Omega's celebration on Dynamite. Probably.
You see the Bucks in that celebration on Wednesday?
They should be. Even though they weren't there. Should be. Jack Perry probably will be too. Who's re-signed with AEW. We saw that on Dynamite.
Did re-sign. Okay, do you see Okada?
No. He's part of Kyle's family.
You see him?
Do you see
him interrupted it?
That could give him something to do. Maybe not with Kenny per se, but maybe a different member of the Elite or members.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see an old member of the Elite who returned to All Elite Wrestling kind of nonchalantly last night to start Collision? It was announced Friday night on social media by Tony Khan, Hangman Adam Page, who appeared for the first time since Revolution.
In his home state of Virginia.
Yes, which makes sense.
Makes sense.
But this was not the way I thought they were going to bring him back.
I watched the promo twice, and the reason I watched it back the second time, because I was like, there was nothing there. Like, it was very underwhelming.
Underwhelming. New look, Hangman. A little shorter hair. The one thing I did like is he said he's a man of his word. He's not going after that world title. But I did like he doesn't know, and we don't know the direction he's going, but he called out every single title current holder, Fletcher, Kevin Knight, Mark Davis, Moxley. I like that. I mean, let's be honest. Hangman's a huge star in AEW. He can bring a lot of credibility and elevate any of those titles.
Yeah, but I mean, down the road, I mean, the kid's 34 years old.
Right.
Down the road, it's got to change because, hey, Omega's towards the end. Moxley's no spring chicken.
No.
You know, you have Ospreay and you have Hangman.
Swerve.
You have Swerve. Eventually, they're going to run out of made stars and you're going to have to turn to him. So you're going to have to figure out a way. So do I think it's going to happen this year, next year? No. 5-6 years down the road, something's got to change. Because I'm as long as he's still with the company.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, you could always, I mean, it's pro wrestling. You could always have him be heel in somehow, some way. he gets that stipulation removed. I don't know. But to the point you just made, I agree with what you said about, you know, all those guys getting older and current, but you also got a wave of young talent coming up. Kyle Fletcher has got to be on the main event scene sooner rather than later. Takeshita should be, at least. Kevin Knight eventually. Someday he's got to work on his mic skills, but eventually. So, and I know I'm probably forgetting a few others. Your stepson, Nick Wayne, maybe eventually. I mean, the kid's only 19 or 20.
No, he just turned 21 this weekend.
21. Well, there you go. I hope you bought him a couple beers. So.
His mom likes lemon drops.
I'm sure she does.
How you know?
How you know? Yeah, Chef, how you know? and Eric Douglas said, you have MJF, Fletcher, Knight. Did you really just say Leo Rush?
Oh, come on, Eric. Dude, you've had some really good comments tonight. I hope that's a typo there, ED. Come on there, dog.
Oh, that's good. I hope he did that just to get you riled up.
Oh, that's like Paul comparing Britney Spears to Mercedes that day. That was I probably was a little harsh on Paul then.
Oh, no, that reaction was gold.
I got a little fired up. It was one of my few blow-ups. I've only had a couple on the show.
My reaction was gold. Gold. I think one of my worst blow-ups, it wasn't even that bad compared to like yours, but was on you a couple weeks ago when you brought up how Lethal and all these other guys should have been in the main event of Forbidden Door in the cage match. My Lord.
You tell me how underutilized they're using Jay Lethal.
He's probably a coach backstage and we don't know it. That's okay. What Evil Uno supposedly does too. That's why the Dark Order re-signed. Yay.
You know, I used to like you. Johnny Hunger used to entertain me.
Oh,
I'm
no.
I'm not a lie.
When Brody Lee was alive, I liked the Dark Order. And unfortunately, you know, after his passing, they just never could keep it going. I mean, with Hangman, that was fun. With them being friends with him while he was going to get the title. But after that, it really fell off. It really fell off. Yeah, a lot more comments about Athena, Willow, Westogen on YouTube. Good to see you, my friend. Talking about Athena, she surpassed the second reign of Bruno Sammartino. By this time next Sunday, she'll surpass Roman Reigns' Universal title reign from August 2020 to April 2024.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, then, if I know them... She was specific. She brought up Bruno in one of her promos.
Yeah.
So if she surpassed it, then maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe we'll get lucky. She'll drop it at the 2300 arena, and you know we'll get her. Now maybe I'll bend my rules a little bit if I get Athena as my third lady in a world title match at Wembley. Maybe I'll tell TK it's okay this time.
It's okay.
Just next time, make sure. Can you ask first?
Can you ask first? Eric Douglas said, y'all don't think Leo is a future star? Maybe not top, but definitely TNT. I could see him in the TNT title thing. I could see that.
I'll give you a little bit of grace here. This new character with whatever
Blackheart gimmick.
Yeah, the Blackheart gimmick maybe is the most entertaining stuff he's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to his WWE character where he was Bobby Lashley's bitch, he got pissed, took his ball, went home, showed up at a GCW event like 2 weeks later, did that, got pissed, took his ball and went home, retired, would send out retirement text on Twitter, and then he'd show up, leave, show up. Hey, if he sticks with this, and so far they're using him pretty good.
He's getting a ton of independent bookings with us too. So
I could see him being a mid-level to upper mid-level, but never much more than that.
Well, and I know what you're going to say to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Would you rather be Leo Rush right now or one of the original four pillars of AEW, Sammy Guevara?
Dude, I'm still telling you that I would love to see the Sammy piss somebody. Sammy had to do something bad.
I knew that's what you were going to say. You bring it up every time.
I mean, they were pushing him so heavy. I mean, Cody had a banger match with him before Cody left. Cody put him over.
Oh, a multi-time TNT champ.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, I know he took some time off. They had a child.
Yeah.
And then they literally booted him. So something happened. And I mean, we've seen his wife on AEW more here in the last 6 months.
He's been ROH a bunch, but
he was ROH tag champion with Dustin before Dustin had his knee surgeries.
Right.
I think he maybe held some ROH.
He's been a tag and trio champ. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. He was, I think, the TV champ at one time, if I'm not mistaken.
And I know he was down doing stuff in Mexico.
Right. He's keeping busy. Don't get me wrong.
But. Yeah, but I liked Sammy. I love the arrogant character he was. I love that when he got ready to do a high spot, he would, right before he did the high spot, he would, you know, he would give the little lunatic circle thing around. He'd be like, I'm nuts, boys.
He had a good one with Darby. On Collision, when Darby was champ, I thought he had a really good showing, but then we haven't really seen him since. So, yeah, I don't know. Is it just throwing that out there?
There's something that has happened.
But there's other young guys. I mean, Stephen Chambers mentions the Swirl, Top Flight, Daniel Garcia, Lee Moriarty, Jack Perry, young wrestlers to mention. How about guys in the Bang Bang Gang or the Dogs?
Yes. Yes, I'm totally behind the Bang Bang Gang and the Dogs.
Love the Bang Bang Gang's spot last night on Collision. They did a legit ad promo for an animal rescue place in Virginia. And one dog's name was Clark. The other dog's name was Finley. True story. Actual dogs. But the way they described them, oh, fantastic. I loved it.
Those guys are you got Jay White and Juice, entertaining guys. Juice, I think, is over the top.
He was in that promo too.
Yeah, which obviously if you look at Juice's home life, she's over the top. Yes. So they fit together like, you know, peanut butter and tuna fish. As great Adam Sandler quote back in the day. Anyways, so those guys are rubbing off on Austin and Colton. But if you look, they have that to learn from. That obviously, look at their dad. Their dad was a great promo comedy guy as well, on top as a great in-ring worker. So they got the best of both worlds to mold these two young guys. So I would say Austin and Colton are the future of your tag team division. And I know you're saying, well, the hell, they haven't, you know, we haven't seen them forever as an actual tag team working. But you get them, you get past Wembley, where you're going to have some guys maybe be done, and they're going to be interjected, and here they come.
Yeah, and I still think we're adding some tag teams soon, very soon.
And you're going to need tag teams to go against those guys. Exactly. And just give Austin and Colton the reps.
Exactly. What's going on, Paperclip Mike? Good to see you in the chat.
Paperclip Mike, was it two Saturdays ago we did the mixer?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, with them. Yep.
Well, Paperclip Mike did the one early in the morning, the 10 o'clock one, 9 o'clock one. And I'm at work, and I'm like, I'm gonna put these guys on in my office. And it was right at the start, and Paperclip Mike had me ready to run through a fucking brick wall. The dude, I don't know if he had 7 espressos before he got on there. He was fired up, and I loved every bit of it. Like, I was ready to walk out of my office and, woo, Ric Flair it. Loved his energy. 9 o'clock on the morning on a Saturday. It was great.
Yeah, that would have been, let's see, Saturday.
Was that 2 weeks ago? It was 2 Saturdays.
That would have been either the Night of Champions or the Great American Bash.
It was one of those two. They were covering. Maybe JPJ and me, and I got some bad memory. We did the 3 o'clock one for AEW.
Paperclip Mike's a pure love for wrestling, nothing else.
I love it. I think he was drinking a C4, so maybe a little C4 ad.
There you go.
A little C4 energy ad there.
Hey, no free ads. Chuck.
No free ads. Fucking sponsor the Main Event Wrestling Network, C4.
There you go.
We can't get Kettle One to do shit. That's a long story, guys. That goes before the Main Event Wrestling
Network. The OGs of KOP Nation know what that's about.
Yeah, they might know what that's about.
Yeah. But no, it's been a good week of professional wrestling. Very good week for AEW. We are 2 weeks out for Redemption. I couldn't even begin to guess what the card's going to look like besides Athena and Willow. Tekla and Willow.
Tekla and Willow. But I think you'll start seeing it, obviously, coming out of this, celebration we're going to have Wednesday.
Sure.
I think you're going to get a match or two Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see it start to snowball.
Yep. I mean, it's just interesting because, I feel like this is AEW's mania season. From, Double or Nothing on through All In's becoming there, the summer is becoming AEW's mania season, if you will, as far as the WWE, it's the winter / early spring Rumble through Mania. So this is where AEW really picks up a lot of steam. I'm anxious for this new pay-per-view Redemption up in Montreal. So I'm curious to what stories and feuds Tony puts on this card instead of All In, and which ones he leaves out building to All In.
So going to Wembley, what's our and I know this is going to be wide open gray area.
Mm-hmm.
What's your idea of the tag title scene going into Wembley? I know what I want, but it's going to be a long way to get there.
There's a lot of tag teams. There's one taking a hiatus. There's two that I think will be in the company by All In, or I think one's definitely in by All In. The other one could be debuting at All In if they haven't already. But I think the match you get at Wembley is a TLC match. The Bucks, FTR, Cage and Cope.
I agree with you, but I just feel like with FTR 3 weeks ago coming out saying we're taking a break.
Yes.
And the stuff Dax has been posting on on Instagram. He's drinking tequila. He's sitting in the pool,
mm-hmm.
hanging out with his dog. And I know we're still a ways away from Wembley. That's what I want to see.
If not, I truly think it'll be Bucks and Cope and Cage, because those seeds have been planted for a while. They've done the stare down. They've had backstage interactions I think those two teams are together at Wembley no matter what. I'm just throwing FTR in there because I think it'd make that match that much better.
Okay. And I'm not asking for your predictions, but if Cope and Cage lose this match, are they done?
Done as a team, not done individually.
Okay.
Yeah.
If they're done as a team and they lose,
mm-hmm.
I know there's one team that couldn't make an appearance because of contracts of the other companies of who they're connected with. But do you see the Dudleys coming and giving them a write off? A sunset, a curtain call is what I went to say.
I think that match against Hardy's a TNA, they're done. I don't think D-Von could do another one.
No. I don't want them to do a match.
Oh.
I want them to come out and give them the kudos, the curtain call.
I mean, that would be cool. That would be really cool. I don't know what Bubba and Tony Khan's relationship is like. I don't even know what D-Von and Tony Khan's relationship is like. But that'd be cool just from an overall pro wrestling fan's perspective. I'm not a Bully Ray fan, but it'd be cool.
You're not a Bully Ray fan because you listen to him on 24/7 every day, and he's a very negative person unless it benefits him.
Mm-hmm.
I read an article or a tweet or I don't know anything I read. I think looks like an article because it's so long. You know, there was a guy that says, you know, Bully talks about how in the summertime on Sundays he goes down to the shore to the bars.
That, yeah.
And they talk about how he sits at the bar waiting for somebody to recognize him. And then when somebody mm-hmm. does recognize him, ask for a picture or whatever, he's just an absolute ass to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that really hurt me. And here's why, because I've always enjoyed his work. I've enjoyed his opinions on wrestling on the show. And it's like, that's some guy I want to sit down and have a Jack and Coke with. So for somebody that maybe has experienced the Jersey Shore doing that and saying he's a fraud, kind of fuck, it hurts a little bit.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to know that about that guy, because in my mind, if I ran into Bully Ray, which is obviously slim to none chance, and hey, I don't even drink Jack Daniels, but I'm going to drink Jack Daniels and have a Jack and Coke with Bully Ray, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And it's a legend. So I know. I like Bully Ray. I take his opinions. Hey, everybody's got their own, right?
They do.
I give him. Is he a little towards Connecticut? Yes.
Well, he knows where his bread's buttered. Let's be honest.
I know, but he has said some positive things of late. Of AEW. We gotta start telling this. WWE, I've always called it Connecticut. Connecticut, right? So I got to say, hey, Jacksonville, right?
Jacksonville.
So we got Jacksonville versus Connecticut.
Sometimes it feels like Chicago, but Jacksonville.
That's true. That's true.
Because they did announce All Out is going back to Chicago the end of September. Last year was in Toronto. So this takes me down a rabbit hole, though, Shep. You were just talking about sitting down with Bully Ray for a drink. I'm going to do four because I always think of Mount Rushmore, but this isn't really Mount Rushmore question. Four current active pro wrestlers you'd like to sit down and have a drink with.
Active pro wrestlers active. I want to have a drink.
Yep.
Well, one of them, and God bless him, he did it to better his life and better his family, doesn't drink. But I would love to sit down and have a non-alcoholic beer, which I can't remember which one he drinks. It's John Moxley.
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely, he might be my number one.
It is amazing to see his body transformation.
Yeah.
From before he stopped drinking to now.
Yeah, and I think if you look back at some of the, he did the. Remember when Brandi Rhodes had like a cooking show or something?
Yeah.
He was on it.
Brandi. Yeah.
Shot of Brandi.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was. I think Mox was a Jack.
Yeah, he was an early guest. Yep. And he was drinking Jack Daniels on there. Yeah.
So he'd be number one. Number two. Again, going back to some of their old vignettes and vlogs. They don't do alcohol. I would love to sit down and chat with the Bucks.
Yeah.
They don't do alcohol, though.
They don't do alcohol.
So there's that one. Current wrestlers. He's a current wrestler to me. He's been in both companies. I've heard he used to love to party. Don't know if he still does or not. Another one would be Billy Gunn.
Yeah.
And I'm going like,
can you imagine? I'd be surprised if he drinks now, but still.
I mean, I remember I listened to one of the podcasts that Stone Cold did, and him and Billy used to room together.
Yeah.
And he said a shit show is being nice.
Yeah.
So that would be my third.
And I can't believe you haven't already said one that I thought was just a no-brainer for you, but.
There's actually a lot. He's not a current wrestler, so I can't say Ric Flair.
No. That's a guaranteed for you, but no.
Yeah, that's a guarantee. I mean, he's a fellow vodka guy. Not my brand, but I've tried it. Cody Rhodes. Cody.
I thought you'd say Dax.
Look, I've tried to like tequila, man.
But you're telling me you're not going to try their tequila when they come out with it?
Okay, I probably will. I will have if when they come out with their tequila, I will get a bottle. We're going to have it unveiling. Yeah. Dax would be up there too.
But Cody would be one of my four because great storyteller. I mean,
it's Cody. Cody's Cody. I'd love to hear stories about Cody. Love to hear stories about his father. The reason, and I think maybe the one that shocked you was Billy Gunn.
Yeah.
But I could imagine the stories Billy has from starting in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
And, you know, stories with – can you imagine the stories him and Road Dogg had together? Him and Stone Cold have together? Like, I would just – I just want to sit there and drink and be a sponge and just tell me story after story after story after story. So, you know, same way with Mox. Mox has such an interesting view on wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
His upbringing was not the normal WWE upbringing.
No.
So he got into WWE differently than Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'd love to hear that journey. That's why I picked him. Still one of my favorite performers. So.
Yep.
Good and then the Bucks, I mean, tell me every independent. You did the independents for so many years. You worked with everybody in the business. You had your dark matches with TNA. You had your dark matches with Connecticut. Like, tell me your experiences. Like, yeah, you might be having a club soda, but.
And you could be like, what really happened at Brawl Out?
No,
I want to know. I want to know.
I want to know. Who bit who?
Stephen Chambers. No, he's not in AEW. Was till a couple weeks ago. But wouldn't mind hearing stories from Jake Roberts.
Oh, yeah. I saw he was done.
Certainly, he would be a fascinating one.
I don't know, man.
It's from stories.
Stories, maybe. Like, I would want to hear his deathmatch stories with Terry Funk from Japan. That would interest me. I've heard, you know, he did the tour where they talk about the Hell in a Cell match with him and Taker. I've watched that.
Yep.
Not saying if I didn't have a chance to sit down with Mick Foley, I would do it.
Yes.
Just maybe wouldn't one of the guys I picked.
That's fair. Yeah, good list. Good list. Good list. You're talking about Moxley. What direction do we go with Moxley for redemption? And then Wembley. I mean, he's the one I'm trying to figure out.
So here's a far take here. And I've let everybody talk about redemption.
Mm-hmm.
So who interfered in the match, the main event?
Will Ospreay.
Okay. What stable is Will Ospreay in?
The Death Riders.
What kind of history and friendship does Ospreay have with Omega? I mean, they hug each other and tell you they love you, right? Yeah. They're bros. So, what if somehow you intertwine that and you have Mox versus Omega because they're not, I don't want to say this because it sounds odd. They're not fighting over Ospreay,
right?
But Ospreay has not. He's trying to play the field, like the middle. He's trying to be friends with Omega.
He's trying to have his cake and eat it too, pretty much.
Right. He's trying to be friends with Omega because they're friends, but he's trying to respect Mox because Mox, you know, trained him and got him where he's at, you know, got him to win the Owen.
Mm-hmm.
So he respects Mox. He respects the Death Riders, but Kenny's his friend, long life friend before the Death Riders. And somehow you mash all that shit together.
Steven said he mentioned about Mox versus Hangman, but got bashed by content creators. You could always revisit that.
I mean, wasn't that the concussion deal? Didn't they each give each other a concussion?
Yes.
So there's history there.
And there's title there.
Why would content creators bash that?
I don't understand that. Like, that's a big time match. I mean, if that's the direction they want to go for Wembley, okay.
Yeah. I'm watching it. Take my money.
Yeah. I mean,
And if you're a so-called content creator bashing Hangman versus Mox, then you don't enjoy professional wrestling. I'm sorry.
Nope.
Or long-term storytelling, which supposedly AEW does nothing of.
Yeah, they don't do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, follow new content creators, bud. That's all I can give you advice for.
Yep. But there's so many interesting directions they could go with so many feuds. Yeah, that's why. I mean, they got my attention big time right now.
They're hot.
Mm-hmm.
They're hot. And I don't always agree with you, Tanner, but you made one really good point earlier that this is kind of the mania season for AEW.
Yeah.
And the more I thought about let that marinate, you're right.
Yeah.
You're going to get banger dynamites. One more premium live event.
Yep.
Going into the biggest show of the year.
Yep.
And how many seats is Wembley? Is it 80?
Yeah, I think they've only sold 20 something right now, and it's set up right now in the 30s, but they'll expand that if they need to. They just
And maybe once if you get the hometown boys the main event for the world title, I think as the matches evolve, I think they'll sell more tickets and it'll expand.
Well, and honestly, God, people might laugh at this. If you bring in Kofi Kingston or Kofi and Austin Creed, whatever they're going to call themselves before All In, they will draw eyeballs and they will put butts in seats. People might laugh at that. They are very popular.
That and they're good in-ring performers, and them guys can spit on the mic.
Yep.
So they're a little bit, I mean, if you would say this, a little bit older, but God, wouldn't we love a, I'm going to call them the New Day. Wouldn't we love a New Day versus the Young Bucks?
Yes.
They've
been teaming that up for years. Yeah. And I want to see Austin Creed versus Kenny Omega one-on-one.
And that's been going on for years for their video game rivalry. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the other team you've been talking about is Motor City Machine Guns.
I will be shocked if they don't show up on Dynamite on the 29th in Detroit. Or the Collision, whichever one. They're both in Detroit that week. I'll be shocked if they don't show up.
And I need my TNA fans. Did Motor City Machine Guns and Young Bucks ever work together in TNA?
I think briefly, but it's been so. I mean, they were Generation Me. They weren't in the Young Bucks.
That's right, Generation Me.
You know, so.
So, okay, so they've never had a match, the Bucks versus Motor City.
Not to my recollection.
Okay. So, I mean, that's another – it's another match, you know, check off my bucket list.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. It's company's in a good spot. Steam Changer said All Out's close to being sold out in Chicago. That's not surprising. I do wish, like, going into 2027 next year, I don't want them to run like huge arenas like for weekly television all the time, like WWE does, because AEW tried that years ago and they got to the point where they couldn't really fill half. But like, I would like to see them go to a little bigger venues than they're running right now. So, at least occasionally.
That's a good point you bring up. I love the venues they run. I think they're intimate. I think it makes the crowd, if it's a good crowd, I think it makes it come across television as they're hot.
You're right.
And they do run a couple bigger stadiums. So, but I think that's the attraction to AEW, where you go to an AEW show and buy a $50 medium ticket, you're not going to be in the nosebleeds.
Oh, no. You're going to have a good seat.
And so I think that is an attraction. And I don't want them, don't get me wrong, I want Tony Khan to make money. I know he's a billionaire, whatever. I want these guys to get paid. I want it all to be successful, right? But for a normal person to go spend $50 and feel like they were right on top of the action, don't start putting me in Banker's Life or Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Put me in the Fishers Event Center.
Yeah.
Put me in the Pepsi Arena here in Indianapolis. I would think a place, and I'm talking Indiana people here, guys, so sorry if I'm losing you, but Tanner's hometown, Fort Wayne, Indiana, has a Coliseum that holds.
It can hold a little over 10, but it rarely does. Yeah.
So if you're going to come to the Fort Wayne Coliseum, that's going to be one of your big shows. That's going to be your pay-per-views.
Yeah.
If you're going to try to do 10,000 people.
That's the thing. And I know we're losing some people here, so bear with us. We'll get back on track. That's why, you know, when at the last Dynamite I was at, everybody started chanting pay-per-view. And Tony's like, where would you like us to run it? You know, because WWE's got a lot of places in lockdown. That's the problem within the state.
Which Indianapolis with Pat McAfee is kind of their...
Well, Fort Wayne and Evansville are in that agreement, too, with Indiana Sports Connection. So I don't know, and as long as that's going on, I don't know if we'll ever get... But I would not be surprised. I think they'll be coming to Fishers in September. It hadn't been announced, but I think they're coming.
Well, WWE used to run this show. They used to run a Sunday night house show. They used to run it up at Notre Dame.
Right. And things have changed up there, so I don't think that's a venue you can really run it now.
Tony's not Catholic enough or what?
No. I mean, like, acoustic-wise and stuff.
Oh, okay.
No, I have no idea what Tony Khan's religion is.
Come on. It's Notre Dame.
Yeah.
The Catholics, they like to drink and gamble.
That's true. It's very true. I think when they come back to Fishers, Indiana, I think it'll be a Dynamite and a Collision taping. That's my guess. Just from what Tony's remarks were after that show. Like, would you guys come to a Collision if we brought it here type things? Okay. So that wouldn't shock me. But, I think they'll keep the smaller venues in 2027. I just, once in a while for us, and I love the, they go bigger for pay-per-view. I like that because they can sell it. But once in a while for like Beach Break looked good, but like ideally it would have been cool if they could have filled out like an 8,000 to 10,000 seat venue for Beach Break. But I don't know. They probably would if they felt like they could. Maybe they just don't feel like they're there.
Yeah. And maybe it's so hit or miss depending on what market they're in.
Very true.
And I'm sure they've got people that's research, all they do is TK's he's a numbers guy. Yep. He's a numbers geek.
Compared to WWE, they don't even announce their pay-per-view locations too far in advance anymore. WWE, like, we know where they're going through October. Like, we don't know where AEW is going yet in October, November, or December for their pay-per-views.
And we have an idea because of what they've done in the past.
Right.
But you know, when I go back to Tony Khan being a number geek, I mean, his company was kind of the company he ranks players going into the NFL and into the soccer game by doing analytics, like, you know, kind of like the old Bill James and Moneyball in baseball, you know.
Billy Bean.
No, Bill James wrote the book.
Oh, gosh. I gotcha.
Now give me a little credit. I know my baseball.
I haven't read the book, but.
Oh, no. Bill James wrote the book. Okay. With the formula in it. But yes, Billy Bean, the general manager of the Las Vegas A's.
Soon to be. Right now they're Sacramento.
Yeah. Their stadium looks freaking sick, by the way. Yeah. I've seen pictures, and I was actually in Vegas when they demolished the shit. It was a mess. Sucked, actually. ruined my Vegas trip. But anyways. Another rabbit hole that Tanner and Shep go down.
Always.
Back to Tony Khan. I'm sure he's got a team that is just analyzing numbers and markets and all this stuff, saying if you have a show here, we're going to predict 8,500 fans. If you have a show here, we're predicting 4,500 fans. Where do you want to run? And that's where, obviously, decides to make his decision and go on.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. Good point. Good point. So,
I don't have those a lot. I don't have those a lot.
Oh, you have them. When Workhorse sitting around, you do.
Well, when Workhorse sitting around, I'm not screaming and yelling about Britney Spears.
Thank God. Thank God. So, anything else, Shep? We have covered a lot tonight. But anything else AEW-wise that we didn't hit on?
We are good. We talked about this last week. About GCW going to the My AEW thing, because Triller TV is a mess.
Announced
this week, MLW up in Canada with Scott D'Amore.
MLP.
MLP is going to run a weekly television show on that My AEW network thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which Scott D'Amore was loved in TNA and
he got the shaft by that.
I think he's got an unbelievable wrestling mind. And I've seen some of his MLP.
Yeah, Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling. Yep.
His pay-per-views. I know some AEW guys have gone up and participated.
Yeah, they have.
in those. He brings a lot of good talent in. Very entertaining show so far than what I've seen. To have a weekly show, I'm even more thoroughly interested in, just to see how they, you know, because right now he's doing, he'll do two shows a weekend, like every, what, 3 months?
Yeah.
4 months?
Like a quarter.
Once a quarter. But now to do a weekly television show, with Scott D'Amore behind the helm, I'm just saying, I would say the first guy he brings in is Tommy Dreamer, if I had to guess.
Wouldn't shock me.
And obviously, Tommy Dreamer is a free agent right now.
Yep. Yeah, this my AEW platform. It's very intriguing. I like the way Tony Khan's going about it. So, something to keep an eye on going forward. Yeah, I mean,
you start putting good content on there, knowing what type of independent shows. And I'm still an MLP and independent program or independent thing as of right now.
Sure.
And maybe you start using that as a feeder program. I know you got ROH, but use that as a feeder program for all the Canadian talent that, you know, you don't get to see down in the States.
Sure.
And you just have another venue, I should say. So.
Yep. Nope. The more, the better. My opinion. So anything else, my man?
I think that's all the bullshit I got tonight.
I like it. I like it. I like it. We didn't have to hear any from Paul tonight. So, but I do have to play us out, though. I mean, he's not here again.
I know we're making our debut episode on the Main Event Wrestling Network. Are you letting all these people hear the Workhorse song?
Which one? Yeah, but I'm letting you pick which one. Workhorse Paul or Workhorse Where You At? Which one are we playing?
Oh, shit. That's a tough one. I'm gonna say Workhorse Where You At.
All right, because it's a good question right now, and it might be a common theme going forward for a while. So I did hit the play button. Just takes a little while.
Oh, it's gotta load. You get that part with your internet. For all you new listeners, this is a song wrote by Tanner to Paul.
Thanks to AI. I don't even know if Paul drinks coffee. I doubt he does, but. But the chair stays empty. Like a fence post in the rain. We keep one ear open, then we hear that same old thing. You have a comment here on YouTube. I'm happy that Kenny's world champion. I found out AEW late. He was 2 weeks away from losing the championship with Hangman of Full Gear 2021. And that was a good time to start watching AEW.
A hell of a time.
Shep, you want to do the outro again this week? You did a good job with last week.
I can ramble through it.
Do it.
You ready right now?
Yeah. We'll let this play in the background.
All right. As we listen to the Workhorse theme song, and the Workhorse is Paul Zartman, who is not here. And if you look at our logo up in the top left, my top left, your top right, he's the middle goofy guy with the big smile. The only guy, Tanner's smiling. I don't smile. But anyways, you like that mug? You like this shirt? Go to our merch store at Kicking Out Pod. Wait, hold on. Help me out. No, that's a different one.
I got you.
Hold on. I don't do this. KickingOutShop.com. Sorry. KickingOutShop.com to get you that hat Tanner's wearing. You have the hat with our logo on it, right? No, you don't. You didn't copyright AEW?
I do. We used to have a hat on there, and the font, the logo was so small, I pulled it.
All right, so, never mind.
You can get that t-shirt, though. You can get the t-shirt that Shep's got on.
Okay, you can get the t-shirt I got on, the coffee cup he had. Support us if you want to. We got a lot of cool stuff on there. Follow Tanner at TannerLee921 on all 92. Sorry, TannerLee92 on all social medias. Follow me, the Shep27 on Twitter and Instagram. I don't do any other social media. I'm lame. You can make fun of me. I'm old. It's fine. We appreciate you guys spending your Sunday night with us. KickingOutPod.com. On the Main Event Wrestling View episode.
with that, Tanner, we'll see you next week as we kick out yet another podcast.
This is where I say goodbye and good night.